Matthew chapter 13, verses 24 through 30 this morning. Please stand to your feet in honor of the Word of God as we read the Word of God together this morning. Matthew chapter 13, beginning at verse 24. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, 'Sir, didst not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares?' And he said unto them, 'An enemy hath done this.' The servants said unto him, 'Wilt thou then that we go and gather them up?' But he said, 'Nay, lest while you gather up the tares, you root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares, and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn.'" Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for the opportunity that we have, the health, the ability, the freedom in our country as it is to preach the Word of God. Thank you. Now, help us not to take that for granted today. Help us to have willing ears that hear and do what's preached to us today. Speak to our hearts. Work in our lives. Anoint our pastor with thy Holy Spirit to accomplish this task, we ask. And Father, if there's somebody in this room this morning that does not know for sure they're going to heaven when they die, I pray they'd settle it before they leave. In Christ's name, amen. You may be seated.
As you're being seated this morning, I'll ask again that you make sure your cell phone is turned off or to vibrate, please. I'm going to ask you this morning also to sit very still and listen very carefully. I need you today to listen to this sermon and hear everything that is said. But just as importantly, I want you to make certain that you let the Holy Spirit of God use that Word of God today to direct what this message is about to your life. Too often we listen to sermons for someone else. Oh, so-and-so should have heard that. Well, if they're not here, you are. So let's listen for ourselves today. In Matthew chapter 13, there are seven parables that Jesus taught. They are the greatest parables in the Bible, I believe. The scope of what they teach covers everything from dispensational truth to personal living. It's amazing what's all in this one chapter. And of the seven parables that Jesus taught to his disciples here, there's only one that they asked him to interpret. You know, a parable is a truth that is taught by using an everyday circumstance, event, or person. First parable is the sower seed in the soil. And behold, a sower went forth to sow, and he used the illustration of how people in those days would take a basket or sometimes pull up the front of the garment, load it with seed, and walk through a plowed field and grab handfuls of seed and just throw it out as they went along. And Jesus may even have been standing next to a field and say, "See this?" And he used the parable of the seed being the Word of God and the sower being God and the soil being the heart in the condition of the person who receives the Bible. So a parable is a truth that's taught by using everyday circumstances and events. And he taught seven parables. Back to back to back to back, just like that. But there's only one. He asked, the disciples came to him, verse 36. They came to him later and they said, "Lord, would you teach us the parable of the tares and the wheat?" Not the sower seed, not the parable of the net and the fish, not the parable of the leaven and the lump, not the parable of the man who bought a field, not that parable. The only one they asked was interpretation for was the tare and the wheat parable, the one we read this morning, about how a man had a field and he went out with his workers and they sowed good seed in that field, which was wheat at the time. But while they slept, the Bible said an enemy came and sowed tare among the wheat. Farmers, even this day, many places, they call that cheat because it looks a lot like wheat as it grows and it gets to a full head of grain upon it. But you can tell once it's fully grown that it's not wheat. It's a weed. And it is of no use whatsoever. And that's why the enemy came. He sowed tare among the wheat to try and confuse the reapers, the harvest, and messed with the end of everything. That parable is the one Jesus asked them. The disciples asked Jesus, interpret that for us. What does that mean, this tare and wheat thing? And Jesus basically told them this. It's likened to the kingdom of heaven. Six of the seven parables, he starts those parables with, the kingdom of heaven is like unto, and he's talking here not just about eternal life in heaven. He's talking about God's plan, God's kingdom, and God's people. And in that one parable, Jesus was teaching them this simple but important truth. That among those who profess to be Christians, there are those who are, and there are those who are not. Now, friend, look at me this morning. The fear I have, the greatest fear I have as a pastor, is pastoring people who don't go to heaven when they die. They go to hell when they die. So, Pastor, you don't need to be afraid of that because I'm sure we're all Christians. The tare and wheat parable always sticks in my mind. So come on, Pastor. You're being a little overly serious this morning, and there's nothing funny or jovial about the sermon today. So please forgive me if I bear a serious note, but I do not apologize for the seriousness of this subject. If you don't think that a person who looked like a Christian, act like a Christian, talk like a Christian, couldn't wind up in hell, then may I mention a name to you this morning? Judas Iscariot. One of the 12 disciples who did everything the disciples did. Went everywhere the disciples went. He was the treasurer. He held the bag of money that people would give to the Lord and they dispersed it among the poor. So he was a man of trust and responsibility because he was the man who held the money. And when Jesus said that before his crucifixion, he said, hey, one of you is going to betray me tonight. Everyone, just the 12 disciples were there, and all the 12 jumped up, the other 11 jumped up, and they pointed at Judas, and they said, it's him, we knew it all along. They had no idea it was Judas. The saddest part of that old account at the Lord's Supper was one by one each disciple came to Jesus and said, Lord, is it me? Is it me? If I understand the order of things, the last one was Judas himself. And Judas came up to the Lord and said, is it me? I'm not going to try to get anybody to doubt their salvation this morning. In fact, if you listen very carefully, I believe you'll leave with more assurance of salvation than you could imagine. But I do not want anybody to have a sense, an understanding, a thinking in their heart or their minds that they're going to heaven when they're not. Because I want you to look at the parable. Now, keep your Bibles open and look at the statement here that's very important. Verse 24. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a man which sowed good seed in his field. Now look at verse 25. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. Listen, while men slept. Let me explain to you what that means in this day and age today. While pulpits have quieted down the simple, pure gospel of Jesus Christ, of just simply telling people that Jesus, God loves you, Christ died for you, paid for your sins, rose from the dead to give you eternal life. And simple repentance and faith will give you salvation. While we've changed that now to making an interpersonal relationship with Jesus Christ, to lordship salvation, to everything else that you can shake a stick at today that doesn't sound like a sinner needing to be saved, people are asleep today in our pews because our pulpits have gone to sleep because we're just not preaching to people the importance and the need and the necessity that Jesus put when he said you must be born again to enter the kingdom of heaven. No, we'd rather entertain people. We'd rather sing them to sleep with our worship services and our little programs and our productions and our plays and our things. We'd rather entertain people. We'd rather set up a coffee shop in our foyers and entertain people. We'd rather make this thing look like Starbucks instead of Shasta Baptist Church. And people are sitting in the pews asleep. But my desire this morning is not, listen to me, my desire this morning is not to decry what isn't done. My desire this morning is to make sure this pulpit is awake and alive. And this pastor this morning challenges you to make sure that you're not tare, but you're wheat today. So that's why you've got to listen to me now, friend. You've got to listen for yourself this morning. We have some visitors and guests today, but by and large, most of the people I'm talking to here and on the internet this morning, most of those are church family. You say, well, then what's your concern, Pastor Johnson? My concern is that it is very possible. Jesus must have thought it was possible, or he would not have taught a parable that there is, in the kingdom of heaven, there's a tare and wheat principle. And so many of the parables he taught here in Matthew 13 were parables of how things would get separated and would be known what was really true about a person's condition before God. So I'm very concerned this morning. It's not because anybody's not living right. It's not because anybody's not what they ought to be. It's because I don't want to pastor people who wind up in hell. My concern is for your soul. So let's listen to this parable this morning. Now listen. So a man has a field and he sows in his field good seed. An enemy comes while people are asleep and not paying attention, and he sows tare among the wheat. Now, initially, everything looks okay. Field's good. Things begin to rise above the ground. Everything looks fine. See, tare does not show up what it really is until later. But after a while, when it comes to fruit, the Bible says, when the grain of the head of the grain begins to form, those who know the fields and know the crops say there's something wrong here. And what they see, they go to the master and they say, there's tare among the wheat. The master says an enemy's done this. Jesus told us who the enemy was in the interpretation later on in this passage. That was Satan. He said the enemy's come, sowed tare among the wheat. No, the field workers are saying, we better get the tare up now. How are we going to harvest all this together? Let's go through and pull the tare out of the wheat. The master says, no, here's what we'll do. We'll wait till harvest time. And we'll harvest everything together. And then I'll command that we separate the tare from the wheat. Now listen to me. And the tare go to the fire. And the wheat go to the barn. See, this is a picture of what's happening today and even in every day, be honest with you. What's happening among people who profess to be Christians. Let me interpret this parable for you to think about carefully this morning. First of all, understand this. The tare is not the enemy. That thing that is not wheat, that's not the enemy. The enemy is the one who sowed it. That's what Jesus said. The enemy, listen to me, the enemy is that Satan comes along and deceives people. By their choice, by the way, not against their choice. By their choice, that Satan comes along and deceives people to accept religion over righteousness, over being regenerate, being born again, according to what the Word of God says. The enemy is the devil who comes along and gets people to be satisfied with the fact that they have a religious relationship with God. They have a situation with the Lord. They have a baptism. They have a church membership. They are involved in a religion. And millions of people are in it. It must be right. It's a deception of the enemy, which is Satan. The tare is not the enemy. The tare, my friend, are simply being deceived into believing they are something they're not. That's why, look here. That's why our preaching and our pulpits today, they need to be definitive in what they say. Instead of this mamby-pamby, pussy-foot, near-tickling, back-scratching, nickel-nipping, half-stepping, soft-soaping, pink tea and lemonade, reverendettes who suck on cigarettes, who sit around in their pulpitettes and study their sermonettes while they deliver their little commentariettes and stand up in a church and just talk to people for a few minutes. We need to stand up and say, ladies and gentlemen, here's what the Bible says, and make it clear so they understand the way to dispel darkness is with light. And the truth is, when Jesus said you must be born again, he made it a definitive statement. Satan is a master at deceiving and leading people into deception. The parable is that of one who has a field with good seed and it's sowed. And the parable is the one of an enemy who comes and sows tare among the wheat, but the tare are not the enemy. The enemy is the deception of the one who planted it. He planted it, it says, and he went on his way. Listen to me. Listen to me. Religion will not stand you before God. Salvation gives you a standing with God. By personally accepting Jesus Christ as your Savior, which you and I must do, just as you were individually born into this life, you must be individually born into God's kingdom. Just as much as there was a definite event of your birth, there is a definite event of your salvation. And that must take place. There must be a definite time where you personally accept the payment Jesus Christ made for you, trusting Him for your salvation and asking Him to do so, then you are born again. Until then, there is no salvation. But Satan will be glad to let you be planted in the field and living among the wheat and say, well, come on. That preacher's just a little over anxious here. Let's just relax. It's Sunday morning. It's cold enough as it is outside. That guy behind me just sneezed on me. I probably got leprosy. Come on, what's the deal? I'm in church. No big deal. Come on, Pastor Johnson, lighten up a little bit. No, my friend, this preacher's here to tell you this morning there is an enemy. And it's not the people. It's the deception that Satan provides today. And don't tell me that Satan doesn't deceive by the multiplied millions in this world to convince people that their religion is sufficient enough for what they have. Galatians chapter 1, the Bible says, the scripture says, though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which have been preached, let him be accursed. Why? Because Satan in the form of an angel of light will come and present a new gospel, a different gospel than the one the Bible says, which says in Revelation 14, an angel carries from heaven an everlasting gospel. The gospel's never changed. It's always been 1 Corinthians 15, how that Christ died for our sins. He was buried and he rose again the third day. That's the gospel. You trust that gospel, Jesus Christ's death for you, for your sins, his resurrection for your eternal life. You have eternal life. Anything else is accursed. It's an enemy. Trying to convince people, can deceive them into believing it. Well, there's millions of people involved in that religion, Pastor Johnson. That has nothing to do with it. Wide is the gate and broad is the path that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. But narrow is the gate and straight is the way that leadeth unto life everlasting, and few there be that find it. Not because God makes it hard, but because God makes it definitive. I'll tell you how wide the gate to heaven is. See this right here? About that wide. The width of the cross. You come to the Savior trusting Jesus' payment for your sin. That's how you get to heaven. That's how he said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You get saved by trusting Christ alone. Anything else is a curse. It's the enemy sowing seed. But the people are not the enemy. The tare is not the enemy. Listen now. But know this, now listen, the tare initially, and at first, the tare are in the right place. They sowed the seed in the field among the wheat. They're in the right place. And initially, things start to grow, and everything looks fine. Now, friend, look at me. The proof of your salvation is not that you do what a Christian does. The proof of your salvation is not that you go to church, that you love the Lord, that you said a prayer. The proof of your salvation, see, initially the wheat and tare look the same. Later on, things will become evident. We'll talk about that in a moment, but I want you to hear me this morning. Initially, the tare looked just like wheat. Well, I must be a Christian. I mean, I love Jesus. I love the Lord. I read the Bible. I mean, I must be a Christian. Initially, the tare looked right, and they were in the right place. What do you want? I'm in this church. I joined this church. That must be what it is. And I believe we're very careful about people that are joining our church. You don't have to jump through hoops to join Shasta Baptist Church, okay? We don't require anything more of a person's membership to join here than what the Bible says. And they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day they were added unto about 3,000 souls. If you have a testimony of salvation that's clear and definite, that you're trusting only Christ, since that salvation you were baptized in a proper manner by immersion for a testimony and not for salvation, you can join Shasta Baptist Church. We don't make it complicated. But hear me. But too often I hear people say, well, you know, I've kind of wondered about my salvation, but, you know, I've been going to church forever. I must be saved. I don't know how long it takes wheat to go from seed to crop, but I assure you it's not overnight. They grew together for quite some time. And initially everybody thought the tare was wheat, and the wheat was tare, and everything was wheat, and it was all good. But you can't go by appearances. You cannot base things upon actions. Many will bypass the simple testimony of salvation and miss heaven. I fear today. When you meet Christians and they say, oh, I'm a Christian. I say, wonderful. Tell me, how is it you became a Christian? Well, see, I got baptized, and then I said, okay, fine. But tell me when you became a Christian. Well, I'm sure I did it somewhere down the road. My mom said, I said, tell me when you became a Christian. Now, I don't remember a lot about my birth. I was there. But September the 12th, 1953 is the day I came into this world. You can write that down. It's coming up pretty soon. September the 12th, 1953 is when I came into this world. And did you understand you actually know more about your spiritual birth than you do your physical birth? I often say we ought to give the gifts to mom because she did all the work when we got born into this life. Our birthday comes around and mom should get the present. She did the work. Dad should get a couple too because he was there. But you mean to tell me your spiritual birth, you have no recollection of when you came into God's kingdom, when you trusted Christ and got saved? That's not a definite event in your life. It has to be. Hear me. It's simple. Once I realize I'm lost, I trust Christ, I get saved. I'm born again, period. That's it. No more than that. No less than that. But every saved person has that testimony in their life. How we came to that moment may be totally different, but that we came to that same repentant faith moment in Christ alone, every saved person has that in their life. Don't miss that simple testimony. Is that there for you today? See, it's tare and wheat now, because tare looks just like wheat, and tare was in the right place. Right field, right everything. But listen to this statement. The difference between tare and wheat is the seed, not the fruit. We've got a lot of folks today who consider themselves fruit inspectors. By their fruits you shall know them, Jesus said, Matthew chapter 12. He's talking to false teachers. He's not saying you are supposed to go around and examine everybody else's fruit to see whether or not they're a Christian. The problem with the tare and wheat wasn't the fruit, it was the seed. That's the problem. It became known when fruit was not evident or the wrong fruit was evident that that was not the right deal. But the key was still the seed. You see, the seed, listen, the seed in the Bible is a picture of two things. The Word of God, Matthew 13, the parable, sow a seed. And the seed is the gospel, 1 Peter. Now listen to me. The difference between tare and wheat is the Bible and the gospel. Whether or not you have biblical salvation that's based solely and simply on the Word of God, nothing else. And the simple gospel of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, and nothing else. Came across some young men here one day, Mormon missionary guys, knocking on doors in an apartment. I opened the door, and there was must have been 8 or 9 of them in this apartment. And I knew they were Mormons without even asking, because they had a bunch of bikes in there, 10-speed bikes. Then they came to the door. They're wearing white shirts and ties with a badge that said Elder Joseph Smith or whatever it was. And the guy looked like he was 12. So I knocked at the door. I said, how you doing, Pastor Johnson from Shasta Baptist Church? And they go, oh, we work for the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. I said, oh, that's interesting. I said, well, I'm in the neighborhood here just talking to people about the Lord. And they said, we do the same. And then he made this statement. He said, we believe in practicing the gospel. I said, how do you practice the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ? He said, that's not a practice. That's a person and what he did for our salvation. Those young men just kind of looked at me for a moment. I said, fellas, could I take a moment and just explain this to you? what salvation is, and then they were not interested in that conversation. But the point is this, listen to me, the difference is not the fruit of your life, the difference is the seed, and that's the Bible and the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what makes you wheat and saved or tare and lost. That's why your church can't save you. That's why your religion can't save you. That's why your beliefs can't save you. That's why your works can't save you. It has to be the seed of God's word, and the Bible is definitive and clear. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy hath he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Oh, the Bible points you to Jesus. It always points you to Jesus. And Jesus alone for salvation and nothing else. This tare and wheat thing is about seed, not about fruit. People get deceived by their fruit, as we mentioned a moment ago. I don't care if you bear all the fruit of a child of God. You can bear that fruit and join Judas 2,000 years later, as he did today. That man's in hell today throwing down 30 pieces of silver. And everybody that knew him thought he was just as much a child of God as anybody else in that group of disciples. My friend, but Judas was a professor, not a possessor. He did not accept Christ as his Savior. The difference in tare and wheat is that they will eventually be separated. Jesus said in verse 30, let both grow together until the harvest. In the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. Harvest is the end time. Everything's done. Great judgments of God. There's two great judgments for mankind. The judgment seat of Christ, where all the saved will stand and their lives will be examined. Not their sin, their life, their works, what they did. Not to determine heaven, but to determine their reward. The second is the great white throne judgment, Revelation 20, verse 11 to 15. And all the unsaved stand there and they're judged according to their works. Not to determine heaven or hell, but to determine their degree of punishment in hell. You see, the bad news is tare can't become wheat. There's no change for the tare. Well, Pastor Johnson, that means if I'm not sure of my salvation, I'm lost? No. It means you come to God needing Christ as your Savior. He'll give you the right seed and you become wheat, not tare that looks like wheat. Don't you see and understand there will come a time when death will come or Jesus will return and we will be separated from this life. And when we are, the people who are saved will go to heaven and the people who are lost will go to hell. And it won't matter if you're a member of Shasta Baptist Church or not. It won't make any difference whether you believe in God and Jesus and the Bible and you love the Lord and you gave your $1.298 to your church. It won't make a bit of difference. All that will matter is, do you know Christ? And is that salvation based on God's Word? Because eventually they'll all be separated. Well, I'll wait and see. Then it's too late. See, when the harvest comes, then it's too late. Why do you think on a Sunday morning when we've got more than 100 and some odd people out of church today, more than that actually, why do you think on a Sunday like this, God directed this pastor, just stirred me up about this message, why do you think he directed me to this particular thought? Because he wants to make sure there's possessing Christian, not professing Christians. Because God loves you. Christ died for you. And there's only one way to heaven. And that's through the shed blood of Jesus Christ based on the Bible and the gospel of that book. And you must be born again. Let's stand our feet, please, this morning.